From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. It's Here and Now. Coming up, we'll look ahead to this week's primary elections, including tomorrow's closely watched race in Mississippi.
But first, to Iraq. That is the sound of Iraqi soldiers firing back at militants from the Sunni extremist group Islamic State of Iraq and Syria near Bakuba, which is about 30 miles northeast of Baghdad. And while the fighting continued and continues to close in on the capital, the diplomacy got underway in Baghdad. Secretary of State John Kerry met with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki today and said Maliki has agreed to seat a new parliament by July 1st.
It is a moment of decision for Iraq's leaders, and it's a moment of great urgency. The very future of Iraq depends on choices that will be made in the next days and weeks.
NPR's diplomatic correspondent Michelle Kellerman has been following all this from Washington, and she's with us now. Michelle, what does this mean, first of all, that Maliki has agreed to seat a new parliament?
Well, what the U.S. hopes it means is that the Iraqis understand the urgency of creating a government and one that's more inclusive. Parliament has to meet to pick a speaker and a prime minister. And in the recent elections, Maliki's party won about a third of the seats in parliament. So they need to form a coalition government. It usually takes some time. Kerry says they really have to move quickly and not only form an inclusive government, but also come up with a real strategy on how to counter these Sunni extremists.
And does the fact that Kerry met with Maliki and had his photograph taken with Maliki mean that the U.S. is supporting him or what?
That's definitely not the message the U.S. wanted to send on this trip. In fact, Kerry made a point of meeting with leading Sunni politicians and consulting with the Kurds. This administration has been really frustrated with Maliki. They've been urging him to be more inclusive for years.
Yeah.
Their calls always seem to fall on deaf ears. And the U.S. is hoping that this time is different and perhaps hoping that Maliki's party itself will decide to replace him. You know, the U.S. can't dictate who becomes part of an Iraqi government, but they can certainly put some pressure on the sidelines in backroom meetings.
Well, and the other big question is, would ISIS support a government that had more Sunnis included? Would that stop this march toward Baghdad from the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria?
That's not going to stop it. But what the U.S. and others are hoping is that if there is a more inclusive government, that ISIS will lose some of its support. I mean, the idea is that the sense is that this group was able to move so quickly into the Sunni areas because Sunnis feel disenfranchised in Iraq. So that's really the question is how do you drain that sense of disenfranchisement and get people united around a program to go after this Sunni extremist group?
Well, and we read over the weekend that ISIS has now taken control of a couple of points on the border between Iraq and Syria. There is some news out of Syria today I want to ask you about, that the last of Syria's stockpile of chemical weapons has been handed over to Western governments. How does that play into the crisis in Iraq?
The shipment came from a contested area of Syria. There were clearly fears that extremist groups like ISIS could have gotten their hands on this material. I mean, the U.S. has blamed Syria for chemical weapons attacks in the past year and a half. But remember, the Syrians keep insisting that some of the reported attacks were carried out by the hands of rebels.
Right.
So getting this material out was the main goal for everyone. The OPCW, which is the watchdog, says this has never been done before, where you have an entire arsenal of category of weapons of mass destruction removed from a country in the midst of a conflict.
Michelle, you are in Washington, where there is a political conversation going on about all of this and about what's happening in Iraq and ISIS and how much and to what extent the U.S. should get involved. And I want to ask about that. Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky was on Meet the Press yesterday on NBC and was asked about the situation in Iraq. Here's what he had to say.
I don't blame on President Obama. Has he really got the solution? Maybe there is no solution. But I do blame the Iraq war on the chaos that is in the Middle East. I also blame those who are for the Iraq war for emboldening Iran.
Michelle, what's your sense of the conversation about Iraq that's going on right now in Washington, especially after a weekend where we wrapped up last week with that big press conference for President Obama announcing that he was going to send a few hundred advisors over?
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, there's one wing of the Republican Party that does blame Obama for the situation because he didn't leave any troops in Iraq, wasn't able to persuade the Iraqi government at the time to agree on a status of forces agreement. Rand Paul, as you hear, is at the opposite end of that argument, a much more isolationist. And Secretary Kerry says it's just time to set aside all these politics and work on this. Today in Baghdad, he vowed what he called an intense and sustained support for Iraqi security forces to help them combat this extremist group. So while they were putting pressure on Iraqi politicians to get their act together, he's also saying that the Obama administration is moving ahead with its own options. And he did signal that there is a possibility that they could carry out airstrikes. They are gathering intelligence. They have these military advisors on the ground, as you said. So there's both of those issues working in parallel now.
NPR diplomatic correspondent Michelle Kellerman joining us from Washington with the latest on what's happening in Iraq and Washington. Michelle, thank you so much.
Thank you.